Well, thank you all. I appreciate everybody coming out today and look forward to the conversation that we're able to have. We're here to talk about a pest resistance management effort to be able to come together and address resistance management issues around all different kinds of pests. But we'll have some partnerships we'll talk about today, some plans. This is a voluntary effort, an effort that doesn't require regulations. It's an effort originated here in Iowa by Iowans and our Iowa organizations. As we've had some conversations with farmers, with Iowa State University, and others in the industry, we realize that there are a lot of resistance issues out there with some more potential coming down the road. There are lots of different things each of us can do, but we've not necessarily been organized together. And this is an effort to bring that organization together, to be able to have the conversations, to be able to work with each other, take several of these individual issues and locally deal with them. And so this is an opportunity to be able to do that. We have some great technologies. Some technologies that we depend on that we want to be able to keep. And typically in any kind of crop production or livestock production system, technologies or any kind of patterns that you start to develop can develop some resistance and the pests start to adapt. Our ability to be able to manage that will allow us to be able to keep these technologies a lot longer. And working together, we're going to discover better ways to be able to do that. We're going to be able to figure out how it works on our own farm. But all these, one of the reasons we need to work together is these pests often don't respect borders and boundaries and our field borders. And we need to do this together. And certainly bringing the kinds of partnerships that you'll hear today are going to be very important to us. So this effort will be to engage the science community and the business and the farmers and those that work with farmers to be able to talk through some of those issues, figure out what needs to work for all of us. So the original effort here is to have some meetings coming up. John Lawrence will talk about some of those meetings coming up and how that conversation will happen, some pilot projects as well, and then we'll keep asking folks for their suggestions of other potential pilots and other things that we should be engaged in. These technologies are important to us. We want to be able to make sure that we keep them. We want to be able to encourage new technologies. We certainly want this to be right for Iowans. And to be right for Iowans, it needs to be driven by Iowans. So John will talk a little bit about some future steps here and some gatherings of folks that will allow us to bring some of that together. So I'll ask John Lawrence from Iowa State University to come up and speak.
And on behalf of Dean Wendy Winterstein of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, I want to thank you for coming out to learn about this new collaborative program. It's been over 2 years in the making, and it started from day one as a partnership, with the industry, the science, with the agencies, to really address an important problem facing all of agriculture. The overall plan has four kind of key components to it in this integrated pest resistance management plan. There's a governance piece, there's a state of the science, the communication and outreach, and pilot projects. Because pests do not stay put, they move from field to field, they can cross boundaries. We're taking a community approach to this. We're kind of all in this together. And this community is everything from the technology providers, the companies creating these technologies, to the ag retail sector that works with farmers and making decisions, to the farmers themselves. And it's really important we all be engaged in this process, and they have been. They've all been represented in these partnerships. While we've been working on it for 2 years on this plan and the science much longer than that, we still have a lot to learn. And so we're taking an adaptive and management approach that will be able to adjust these plans as we go forward. But key to making it successful is really having the resources to keep the plan going and keep the plan on track. So we're going to have a program manager. We're going to have three operational teams, one around the science, one around pilot projects, and one on communication and outreach. And then there will be an accountability coordinator to make sure we're on task, that we're keeping things going the way they're supposed to. Some of the key features of this plan, and it's available in a handout with more detail, is there's a logic model approach to really track the inputs going into this, the outputs that are going to be created, and ultimately the outcomes that come about because of this, putting this plan into action. And we'll be able to track to see if we're on progress and on task. We're going to use the best science available as we move forward, as we choose the pilot projects to implement and as we put them into place. There's a role for monitoring and management efforts to go along with those pilot projects. Communication and outreach obviously will be a key role in this as we roll it out and as we move it forward across the countryside. And then ultimately the pilot projects will be a key part of the, making this a success. As you think about it, you know, our goal is to keep these safe, effective pest management technologies viable well into the future. That impacts not only sustainability, but profitability. It's important that we protect the effectiveness of those technologies. When you boil it down, we've got nearly 90,000 farmers making decisions on 23 million acres of corn and soybeans. As they make seed variety decisions and pesticide decisions, they're choosing technologies. How they make those decisions impact the sustainability of those technologies. So it's really important that we work closely with farmers as they make those decisions, not only what's the best choice for today, but impacts their choices going forward into the future. Now, some of these pilot projects we're talking about are really going to focus on utilizing the latest pest resistance management tools and examine approaches that will be to how do we successfully implement them at the farm and field scale. We're going to talk to community leaders, and community broadly defined, not just a location, but across the supply chain, who's part of the community that impacts those decisions. And these projects will work to establish incentives and novel approaches to encourage adoption. We'll work, as I said, with farmers, their advisors, lenders, landowners, and technology providers on adopting these tools. Some examples of some of these potential projects that's been discussed and we'll be looking at in the future is Western corn rootworm resistance to the BT in northeast Iowa. Soybean aphid resistance beginning to form in northwest Iowa. Palmer amaranth in Harrison County. And our next speaker, Larry Buss, as a farmer, is going to talk about those efforts there. Palmer amaranth in conservation seedings. The unfortunate event that occurred where we have some of our CRP plantings with Palmer amaranth. How might we approach from a community standpoint? And water hemp in Story County. So our timeline is in March, these proposals for possible pilot projects are due in March. We'll review those in April and select the ones we move forward with in May. And so we're planning to get this moving rather quickly. I'd now like to introduce Larry Buss. Larry is a farmer from Logan, Iowa, and there has been Palmer amaranth in his region. And he's going to talk to us this whole process from a farmer's perspective. Larry?
Thank you, John. I also appreciate the opportunity to visit a little bit about the resistance of pests to pesticides and et cetera, because it is a growing issue. To do that, I'm going to give a farmer's perspective on this thing. I'm going to look back, and then I'm going to look forward. And looking back, I'm going to go back to about 25 years. And at that time, I'm going to talk primarily about weeds now, because we've always had weed issues. And we had a herbicide that was highly effective called Pursuit. It was spray it once and you're pretty much done. A little bit pricey, but we used it heavily. And within about 5 years or so, it was to the point where, especially with water hemp, especially with broadleaves, it was the effectiveness had decreased considerably to the point where we were having to look at other older type herbicides that we'd used before and that we had abandoned because of that new technology that came out. So then I'm going to move up to maybe 15, 20 years ago when the advent through modifying crops to have Roundup glyphosate sprayed directly on top of them. Tremendous product. We needed it heavily in soybeans. It was almost a godsend there because it killed anything that was bigger, little, or fat, or narrow, whatever. It killed it. It killed it. But the problem there is we overused it again because we weren't thinking holistically in the ag community that's been mentioned here, but primarily, or not primarily, but obviously in farmers, that too much of a good thing will end that good thing. And so when it became available that we could use that technology in corn, then it became farmers like me, we used it every year. We did not rotate. That was the program. And because of that, what I call too broad of application, we have gone to the point where it is not nearly as effective as it once upon a time was. A lot of weeds are resistant, especially broadleaves are resistant to it. So it was mentioned that I've had experience with Palmer amaranth, and that's going to come up in 2013. It was first discovered in Harrison County. We had that dubious honor. It was the first place in Iowa where it was discovered. And I helped organize some educational meetings, something like what these pilots are going to do. Education, let people know that it's there. Hopefully get people to understand that they need to be doing something as far as awareness and vigilance in regard to that. Then time went on and 2015 rolled around and I had the opportunity to engage at a great workshop at Iowa State, where IDALS was there, Iowa State scientific people were there, pesticide companies, seed companies, farmers like me. I represented Iowa Corn Growers Association there, and we had a great discussion, and as was mentioned, that is really what laid this program that we have now in Iowa to deal with pest and the resistance of pest to the technologies that we have. In that same year, this same Palmer amaranth field that I talked about, that it was discovered in 2013, the operator there let some of that go to seed, which was rather upsetting. But where I'm really going with this thing is that we have a history of dealing with pest, with resistance of pest to things that we have to deal with them. But the thing that we haven't had is a program, a plan, and awareness to make us all the whole ag community get into the mindset where we need to deal with these things. From a grower's perspective, we know there's problems coming, but awareness is the thing. We're of the three types of pests, weeds, insects, and disease, weeds are most obvious for us because we can see it. When we spray and it doesn't work, we can see the weeds out there. And so that's most visible, and we're most concerned about that. As was mentioned, insects are becoming resistant also. The western corn rootworm, the soybean cyst nematode, aphids. We're probably not in the farming community quite as aware of that because we tend to scout the fields, do the treatment, and maybe don't go back again to check to see how well it worked. And then the other thing is resistance of these diseases to fungicides. That is coming because, again, we are, and I'll talk about that in a moment, we are using it maybe a little bit too routinely, and I'll try to address that in a moment. One thing also I'm concerned about with weeds is the issue with moving us away from no-till, which in the Lost Hills where I operate in western Iowa, no-till has been a blessing as far as soil health, enhancing productivity, reducing soil erosion, and relating to water quality, which is a huge issue in Iowa. So I'm concerned if we don't get our handle around this pesticide-resistant management, we may have to go back to something that they are not resistant to, and that's iron, that's steel, and we don't really want to do that. So it behooves us all to do that. As I mentioned, many of us are not aware. We're aware of weeds, so we need to do more of that. Four weeds that are really an issue with us, at least in my area, and I'll mention them in ascending order of a problem, is giant ragweed. It's kind of coming in. Mare's tail, we've had it some. Water hemp is all across the state. We've been battling that for years. And then the new one coming in is Palmer Amaranth. As I mentioned, it came into Harrison County first. We don't like that honor, but it was there. But this, it's basically spread across the state through this inadvertent use of seed, where it was contained in the planting and the seed in the CRP. So that's unfortunate. But anyhow, it's going to be, we think, I think, based on what I've seen in the literature from the farmers in the South and the Southeast, if it's not controlled, it's a scourge, and it is a prolific seed producer, and you have to spray it when it's very small, and the window, its growth is large and it's rapid, so it's hard to control that. So the Iowa Pesticide Resistant Management Plan, as farmers see it, as I see it, it is a long-term thing that we need to be working, but also it is short-term. We're interested in long-term profitability for Iowa farmers, but we also have to ensure that whatever practices farmers implement to do this makes them short-term profitable also, because you won't get to the long-term if you're not profitable in the short-term. So that's highly important. The pilot project that John mentioned, excited about that. It's a great approach, lots to learn. We don't know everything, that's why we do the pilots. We're gonna adapt as we go and make some adjustments. So what we think today may not be quite what we think 2 years from now or whatever, when these things move along. So we're happy for that. As far as the ag community, that's been mentioned. Farmers can't do this by ourselves. Obviously, farmers and landowners, we are a huge part, but we have to engage. The entire community has to be engaged. I'm just going to read off a few so I don't miss some. And this is not all-inclusive by any means. But it's agronomists that advises, it's crop advisors. One thing I will say there that we need to be aware of, on short term, some of these things, the practice that we use, fungicides, insecticides, when we're making another application, say we're spraying fungicide, some of the crop advisors say, well, just throw in some insecticide for about $3 an acre. You got the application in, and it'll wipe out everything you have there. And it will, but it also wipes out the beneficials as well as taking care of the detrimental ones. But the point I'm going with that, by doing that kind of a practice without scouting where you really need it and doing those blanket applications, we tend to be moving this train down the road where we're enhancing resistance of these pests to the practices that we have. We need to stop that, I think. Lenders are in this thing too, because this could cost some money. And so they need to be aware of this and need to be with the farmer in the short term and the long term profitability. Seed companies, the plant breeders, the pesticide manufacturers. As I've talked before, maybe some of the products that we use maybe shouldn't be widely applicable. Maybe we just need them in specific areas so that we don't get this too broad of application concept. Obviously, we need the science, Iowa State. We need the state, IDALs, and we also need maybe those folks that are approving these chemicals for the uses to be engaged in this thing. The bottom line, short term, long term, I'm glad we're here. We've needed, that's why I talked about the 25-year journey or so, because we want to, when somebody here is talking about this in 25 years from now, we want them to be able to look back and say, hey, look what they started in 2015, 16, 17, and look how much it's done. And the last thing I want to say is, this is a concept, pesticide resistance management, that we as farmers, when we are deciding what we're going to do each year, where we're going to plant, what we're going to plant, what our herbicide program, insecticide, whatever it is, we need to be thinking also, what do we need to consider to enhance or to support the Iowa Pesticide Resistance Management Strategy Plan. It's a new concept here, and we need to adopt, and these pilots, I hope, will do that. Thank you.
Is this modeled after a program in any other states, or is this a unique one to Iowa?
No, my sense is it's unique. There are conversations that are happening in other states as well, kind of modeled after the conversations started here a couple years ago. But the effort is to say, let's have this driven for Iowa, and we're not really aware of something exactly like this in other states right now.
And I would agree with that. Now, we are also working closely with US EPA, which has regulatory authority over the herbicides or insecticides, pesticides in general, with USDA, with the crop associations, the professionals. But we're really in a leadership role again on this type of a project.
And I'll respond to that too. I've dialogued to some extent with some of my counterparts, let's say National Corn Growers Association, and I will echo what these two gentlemen said. They may be thinking about it, but I truly believe it's out front. Nobody else has a plan yet like we do.
What are the challenges to, I guess, implementing something like this, you know, measuring progress, things like that?
So, first off, it's new, and so we're going to learn what those challenges are. But if you read the plan, it's fairly well laid out. What those outputs and outcomes are well defined. We'll know if we're kind of hitting our marks or not. I think what one of the challenges is the very nature of this is a community-based management type of program. It's not something you can buy in a bag or spray over the top and fix the problem. It's thoughtful decisions that impact not only my farm today, as Larry talked about, but the long-term viability of these technologies for me to farm in the future. And that's not something you can just make a snap decision or pick it off of a list and be done. It's going to be the thinkers that come out ahead in this process.
It seems like we've had a lot of programs over the years that, you know, aimed at different parts of this. So are you kind of trying to pull all that together into one piece?
Yes, I would say. I would say the bottom line is yes. I mean, you can't pull these things together and involve all the pieces unless you have a plan. And that's a reason I went back on the 25-year journey. We know that it's there, but we can't, as an individual farmer, I can't make this thing happen. Maybe on my farm I can, but these pests don't just stay on my farm, or they don't stay on the neighbor's farm, they move over to me. And so we have to have some, that's why I'm so encouraged by this leadership here that has, because we need leadership at the top to help us. Not that we won't do it at the farm sector, but we need leadership so we're in a community that works this whole thing.
And I think we have talked about the issue and we've encouraged folks to consider that on their own. But what this is about is also getting more tools and understanding when it can be done and doing action to a greater extent within a community. So within one of these counties saying, okay, let's all of us together work on it, rather than just depending on messaging of think about resistance on your own operation. And that's been more the approach in the past, and I think certainly some people have engaged in that and others not as much. Hopefully this brings more people to those strategies.